Week 3. Wake-up call. No surprise there. God is faithful in His Word to tell us what He wants us to know. As I understand from my married friends, communication is key in a marriage. If a guy wants to get sideways with his wife really quickly, he can do something major that affects them both drastically without saying anything to her beforehand about it. Yeah, that'll do it. In any case, God is about to communicate in a big way through Amos to His people, and He let them know beforehand. No surprises here. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secret to His servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Amos 3:7-8. God doesn't just drop the hammer. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. He is slow to anger and abounding in love, Exodus 34:6. Time after time, He called to the people of the northern kingdom to return to Him and leave the filth behind to find healing and restoration in Him. As we saw just before, things had sunk to an unsustainable state of immoral depravity and cruelty over generations. And it was God's people who were the worst of the lot here. Look at this. Proclaim to the strongholds in Ashdod and to the strongholds in the land of Egypt and say, assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria and see the great tumults within her and the oppressed in her midst. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord. Those who store up violence and robbery in their strongholds. Amos 3:9-10. At the time Amos spoke, Ashdod was a fortified coastal city of the Philistines, a longtime enemy of God's people. Egypt was no friend of God's people either. They were both pagan nations, usually bent on violence, corruption, and power, if we consider their histories up until Amos's day. And God was asking them in this passage to look down on Samaria in Israel as fellow judges on His own people. Even these pagan nations weren't as corrupt as God's own people had become. They who lived according to their own human standards would say of God's people in Samaria, not even I would do something like that to my neighbor. Wow, what an indictment. It sounds a bit like Paul in 1 Corinthians saying to the church about some sexual practices evident in that congregation, quote, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that is not even tolerated among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? 1 Corinthians 5:1-2. In Amos, God even declares of His own people to those godless nations, they do not know how to do right. Amos 3:10. God wants His whole creation to know who He truly is and how to love Him and love each other rightly. He will not stand by and let an unbelieving world say bad things about Him that aren't true because of how His own people are acting. He will make sure the world knows what He stands for one way or the other. That is a wake-up call. In the verses above, it is as though, instead of grain, God's people have stored up only robbery and violence to sustain them. They may be eating that grain, but how they acquired it was through robbery and violence. God had had enough. time to make a decision, people. Needed change. The next little bit is full of rough waters. What God said here is that if things didn't change, his wrath over what was going on would have its day. Amos presented a stark picture to God's rebellious people. Therefore, says the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land and bring down your defenses from you, and your strongholds shall be plundered. Thus says the Lord, as the shepherd rescues from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the people of Israel who dwell in Samaria be rescued with the corner of a couch and a part of a bed. Amos 3:11-12. God was clear about what was coming if things didn't change. He would send an adversary to surround them and break through their defenses to plunder all that they had prized and treasured, gotten by violence and robbery. In Amos's day, a shepherd was hired out by the owner of the flock to watch over the sheep. He was responsible to return each sheep intact to the owner after leading them out each day to pasture. If a lion or other animal attacked one of the sheep, the shepherd was equipped and ready to fight off the lion and rescue the sheep. If the lion proved too strong and the sheep could not be saved, the shepherd had to return what was left of the sheep to the owner to prove that it had been destroyed by the lion and not just lost or sold for money. Sometimes, all that could be saved from the jaws of that powerful lion were two legs or the piece of an ear. That was all that was left to prove that the sheep ever existed. God was saying that the destruction of Samaria and all who dwell in it would be so complete that all that could prove the existence of that great city would be the corner of a couch or the part of a bed. Wow. God's wrath on the wickedness of his people would be devastating if their abuse did not stop. The kindness of God. There are some who see God in bad ways as a mean, nasty destroyer. I hope as we go through the 12, you see his real character coming through. The last thing he wants to do is to destroy his creation. His words to the stiff-necked, prideful, corrupt, and arrogant people of the northern kingdom are strong here. But remember his character. Get a good look at how much God hates sin and what it does to us. Sin warps us to use and abuse one another and do the same to God in our selfish pursuits. God would be unkind to sit back and say or do nothing while we destroy one another. What will it take to get our attention? In a bit, we'll see the good heart of God revealed as he calls his people to return. But first, the sea swirls and breaks beneath us, and the ship rocks and creaks as we sail through chapter 4. No wrong answers, discussion questions. Number 1. God doesn't sneak up on us. In this passage, God was calling out for his people to stop chasing what the world offered and return to him and his ways of peace. God communicates to us today clearly, with no surprises in his word about how we should follow Christ and care for others. How do God's clear words like these in Amos encourage you to follow him closer? Number 2. There are some who see God in bad ways as a mean, nasty destroyer in the minor prophets. I hope you see the love of God in his warnings to his people. How might some read the words of the minor prophets and get the wrong impression of God? How low can you get? Amos left no stone unturned in calling out how low God's people had sunk. It was the pampered ladies of Samaria who got a strong word from the Lord here. He referred to them as the cows of Bashan. Not flattering. The area of the Bashan in northern Israel is a lush region full of green fields and streams of water, not like the desert area further south. The Bashan was an area many fought over and the powerful considered a prize. Good place to raise cattle. The people of Samaria had allowed their wealth and elevated national status to go to their heads. The ladies that Amos addressed here, quote, oppress the poor and crush the needy, Amos 4:1. Why would they do such a thing? They liked the high life, living large. Amos said they were women, quote, who say to their husbands, bring that we may drink, Amos 4:2. They didn't care how their men got the money, just so they got it. Perhaps they might have said, if you have to crush the needy and strangle those of inferior status to get it, don't bother me with the details. I have a hair appointment and then cocktails at the neighbor's this evening. Just give me the money and a margarita and keep quiet. I'm being a bit hyperbolic. But the idea is that the decadent and debauched lifestyle that they were enjoying necessarily came from the abuse of power and mistreatment of others who were in need and in poverty. God does not abide that kind of action. The response to these brutal women in Amos was a shocking one. God swore by his own holiness that the day was coming when each of those debased women, quote, would be led away with hooks, even with fish hooks, through the breached wall of the city, Amos 4:2 through 3. This phrasing is difficult for scholars. It could mean being led away into captivity, but the use of the words for hooks and fish hooks here are for big tools used to grab stacks of hay to load them or slabs of meat to stack them and throw them. God may have been giving Amos a look into what was coming for the abusive and cruel leaders of this mighty city if they didn't change. It was a picture of the ugliness and carnage of war. I would hope that I might be paying attention at this point if I had been in the crowd that day. In the next verses, God said something similar to what he said in Hosea and Joel. He was not looking for some half-hearted religious response. He can't be bought. He isn't dazzled by money and flattery through empty religious action and pompous ceremonies. He wanted them to get real with what they had done. Quote, come to Bethel and sin, God said in 4:4. Bethel was their place of worship. God Almighty was likely counted as little more than other man-made deities that they appealed to for blessing in that city. In modern terms, the above verse is as though God were saying, quote, come to church and by doing so, sin because your ways are wicked. Sing your heart out. Dress up. Have high church with all your robes and finery designed to impress. They impress you. They don't impress me. You love your religious show, but you do not love me at all. You are cruel to my children and pound them into the dust for the sake of your own pleasure. The days are coming when I will put a stop to this myself. What these words amount to is tough to embrace, but very much worth considering. Amos revealed something that we have a hard time putting into words, but we all know more or less what it implies. It's something that is truly a crippling thought and terrible to ponder, but it needs to be pondered in this case. It needs to be understood for what it is, and were it not for the cross of Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, it would be the woeful destiny for the whole of sinful man. It is called the wrath of God. No wrong answers, discussion questions. Number one, the lives that God's wayward people were leading spilled over into how they related to Him. God made it all too clear to the men and women of Amos's day that He could not be bought and could not be fooled by their religious show. God looks on the heart. What are some key qualities that come to mind about worshiping God with your whole heart as His son or daughter in Christ? Number two, what are some things that might be indicators of wounded fellowship with God in our expressions of worship?